even though there's absolutely no scientific evidence that ghosts exist. You're not crazy if you've ever been visited by a spooky spirit. Under certain conditions, the mind can actually be tricked into seeing ghosts.
Maybe people are attracted to ghosts because they are often used in literature and film as a metaphor for humankind's sometimes world-weary existence. Today, the hilarious Brian Sweeney joins us to talk about ghosts. How do ghosts in films and TV shows jive with people's reported supernatural experiences?
Plus, Brian gives us a look at his new collaborative book with The Onion's Scott Dickers. Welcome to the future, which is mine, definitely not written by Elon Musk.
Carol Spinney, the man who created, voiced, and performed Sesame Street's iconic Big Bird, announced he's retiring after 50 years.
And would you risk getting fired from your job for 8 minutes of Mile High Heaven with a sexy porn star? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Ooh, 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 ooh. Do it to me some more.
Ooh. A little dose of a freaky ghost.
Oh, you better believe it.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Today, we're getting in touch with the spirits. Ooh, I feel a horny ghost taking over me. How would you know the difference if you've been possessed by someone as studly as Patrick Swayze in Ghosts? If you saw an angry librarian trying to shush you, would you run away? Or would you say, ma'am, can I help you? Today, Brian Sweeney is joining us to take a look at ghosts,
both in
real life and the way we think about them as films influence us to think about the undead spirits who are haunting this world. Welcome, Brian.
Welcome. Now, all put your hands, palms up. Let me light this candle.
Oh, I have a lighter.
Are you there?
Pretend,
lady. Dun, dun, dun.
Dark lady, take the magic in the mountain. I'm trying to seduce. Create a seance to bring Judy Garland into this podcast.
Oh,
wait, we already did that.
Oh, I know. It was such a good episode,
and it wasn't even Judy Garland, but it sounded like her.
Have you ever been to a seance? Have you ever seen any ghosts?
Yes. No.
What kind of ghosts have you seen?
I've never been to a seance. I've never seen a ghost, but I can say I have.
Busting a nut makes you feel good.
Yes. I saw Judy Garland's ghost, and she was still... Who'd she hate? Sid Croft? Is that...
Was she hates those damn Nazis.
No, who was her ex-husband that she hated?
Oh, she had three husbands, yeah.
Minnelli? Loft?
Luft. Is it Sid Luft?
Yeah.
Something like that.
She was angry about a lot of things. She's a tormented spirit. If you're thinking about having a seance and trying to pull somebody from the other realm into this world, Judy Garland is a great person to try to conjure up. Because she's got things to say.
What would you like to know from Judy?
I just want to say I really appreciate you. I'm a big fan.
And she'd be like, Fausto, you woke me up from my eternal slumber.
Who's been painting my roses red? Who dares to disturb the sleeping spirit of Judy Garland?
Oh, can you imagine heaven for Judy Garland? Just all these gay dudes. God, can you imagine what the 80s were for her spirit? Just constant gay men being like, oh my God, it was worth it. Hello, Judy. And she's like, Sid Luft, I hate him.
Welcome to heaven, kids.
So Judy Garland, for many years, actually, was trying to record her memoirs And so she got herself like a cassette recorder and a microphone.
And a bottle, 6 bottles of bourbon.
And so the early days of podcasting, yeah. she would get really drunk and record herself like, this goddamn Nazi machine, I fucking hate it.
Goddamn lawyers taking all the money.
My money, you know, stuff. And so it became one of the sort of the earliest podcasts that was sort of passed around the world.
I think eventually somebody put it on iTunes and you could buy it, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second,
that
somebody
illegal and stuff. But Mark, have you ever seen a ghost?
I have not seen a ghost, but I did see one time my friend Kathy and I, we used to drive by this woman. Her name was Rachel, and she was a Sunday school teacher.
That is a scary story. End.
She was like 70 years old.
Oh, there's more.
And then on a cold winter night, she got a doorbell rang, and it was one of her former students. From Sunday school. And so she invited him in. She gave him cocoa. And to thank her, he killed her, wrote foul things on her body in blood, and then came in her ear. So, of
course. Did this really happen?
Yeah. And so, of course, my friend Kathy and I
were. Wait, in that order?
Well, I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure exactly what happened.
Like, he was about to, like, leave. He was like, all done. Wait a minute. I still have a load to shoot in her ear.
Exactly.
And so
we were obsessed with this because it was such a gruesome and weird crime that we wrote about. And my friend Kathy is now married to a police officer. So we often, you know, get together and discuss our love of true crime. And so we would drive by because, you know, we grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania. There was nothing to do. So we would just get into a car and drive all night. And one of the things we would do is we would drive by Rachel's house. Mm. And one day we were going to go drive by Rachel's house
and jerk off.
No, we didn't have that kind of relationship. We went.
What are you playing over there?
That was obviously the 7-year-old woman with cum in her ear.
And so we were going to go drive by her house. And then we turned the corner. And as soon as we turned the corner, Kathy, let me tell you, she would drive my parents' car. She didn't like the way I drove. So I would go pick her up. I would move over and she would drive my parents' car. And so we turned this corner. And then all of a sudden, she just like, we both kind of scream and she slams on the brakes because it looked like we saw this kind of like devil dog, like underneath this like lamppost. So it was like, it was probably just a weird shadow, but it scared the both of us. And we thought for sure it was like some kind of evil beast from hell.
What were you guys on?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Oh no.
So you saw a dog on the road.
No. It was a beast.
This 7-year-old woman was beaten and raped and cum in her ear, and then we saw a dog later. That was a good. That was like a sequel to a really like exciting movie. That's like the Beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
Well, that's the thing about ghost stories. When you actually ask people for their real life ghost stories, ghosts are inherently the laziest creatures to walk this planet if they actually do, because ghosts have somewhat the ability to move objects.
If they're taught by that guy.
By the guy in the movie Ghost.
In the subway.
Isn't that the actor who played the lead in Transparent, who later...
I think that's the same actor, his name is like Vincent Spinelli or something.
He was a big character actor.
He was in Class. He was in Better Off Dead.
But now he is dead, right?
He is. He is in the subway.
He's a ghost.
He is with Judy Garland, and he's coming in the 7-year-old woman's ear as we speak.
But ghosts are inherently lazy. You know, it's like... if you think about it, like being a ghost actually is a great state of being. You don't require any food. You don't have to pay rent. And you can do shit.
Not if you're Slimer.
Yeah.
He needs all the food.
And you have to suck souls sometimes.
And dick. Like,
succubus
and incubus. Yes. They have sex with people.
I think ghosts are inherently bored, and they're just looking for things to do.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, I mean, the ghosts, the way we portray
it, Mark, this is October, the spookiest of all months. It's a scary time for men, I hear. And I say it's a scary time for everyone, because it's Halloween.
Even that sound app.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's just natural ambient scariness.
But if you think about it, like in a practical sense, like Casper, the friendly ghost.
Who died of polio, I believe. It said on his gravestone.
Did it really?
Yeah.
There's some conspiracy theorists that believe that Richie Rich was Casper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard that.
And he died in some horrible accident, and he just haunts this world, you know?
He probably shot himself because rich people are sad. What if Richie Rich just went down in a hail of bullets at his school? He just shot, and then he turned before he turned the gun on himself. That's my new Nolan verse, Richie Rich, gritty reboot I'm thinking of doing.
But you know, in a practical sense, like ghosts in most films and the way we think of them, you know, if it's a horror film, usually the ghost is out to do no good. Or is it like The Sixth Sense or the others, the main characters don't realize that they're ghosts, mm-hmm. and they're trying to solve something. But one thing that all the ghosts share in common is that they're tormented human beings that left this world unceremoniously too early, and they're trying to solve a mystery or resolve some type of emotion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the idea of ghosts really resonate or haunt us as human beings is because we all have unresolved issues that we never really get over. And so to some degree, we're haunted by our own memories. And the idea of a ghost is actually really relevant to us as a way to make sense of this world.
So in some ways, it's kind of like transference. You're like, I'm trying to make sense of something here, so I'm going to act like it's a ghost.
Well, you think about, you know, Patrick Swayze, like he was killed by a greedy stockbroker.
It was cancer. What are you talking
about? No, not the actor, the character in Ghost.
Oh. Sam.
Sam.
Sam Ditto. Sam wouldn't, yeah. Sam
I
says
love
Ditto.
You. Ditto.
Sam would never say that. Ditto, what the hell does Ditto mean? Sam says Ditto. And then Demi Moore cries.
But if you think about, like, what, in terms of film, in terms of, like, literature, what really sort of gives us an idea of what a ghost is and what a ghost can do?
Well, it's cultural also because, like,
because Asians have a very different idea of what ghosts are.
The wacky Asians. Yeah, but even broken up by, like, the countries in Asia, like Chinese ghosts are different from Asian ghosts or Japanese ghosts. African ghosts are different. And since, like, the United States is so gigantic, regional ghosts are completely different. And then there's, like, the woman in white. Here in Chicago, we have Resurrection Mary, who's a...
What? I've never heard these stories.
You've never heard...
Resurrection no. Mary? What's, no. What's her what's deal?
Okay, gather around. Let me lower the lights. Let me...
Okay.
At Resurrection Cemetery, there's... which is some... I don't know where it
it's
is.
In it's, Chicago, somewhere, it's in Chicago. A famous
it's
cemetery.
In Chicago. And a very famous cemetery. No autographs. You can take selfies. There's a woman, woman in white. Yes, there's a lot of, there was some in the Fappening, some nude Resurrection Mary pictures. It was, and they were really hot, but we feel bad about them. Anyway, a woman in white is the one who like asks you for a ride home, and you drive her home, and then come back the next day, and then her parents are like, "She's been dead for 20 years."
This is the story of Large Marge from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yes, that's a woman in white.
Okay,
that is a woman in white.
Tell him, Large Marge sent you.
Doesn't he take her to the dance or something?
Yes,
he takes her to the dance, and then he leaves. She gives him his sweater.
Yes, or she leaves something in the car, and then that's when you go back the next day. Resurrection Mary is, they're classified as a woman in white. In the first, actually, the pilot episode of Supernatural.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I didn't think we would talk about that at all.
has a woman in white, and that's the first case that we see the brothers on. But
it was a night just like this one.
And when they pulled the body from the flaming, horrible wreck, she looked like this.
I was really stoned when I saw that movie.
Pee-wee's and, Big Adventure.
Yeah, so when Large Marge does that thing, it freaked me the fuck out.
It is. Yeah, it is my generation of kids, whatever. People my age and around my age like understand what the Large Marge moment is, and that's just because that was scary as shit, and it was a thing.
You remember where you were when you saw Large Marge?
Yeah, it's one of those like really scary because they used to, in like kids movies they used to always have like one or two like really scary things, and they would and you would feel safe, and then all of a sudden it would be like bop. But ghosts.
That was a ghost.
That was a ghost.
Ghost. Scooby-Doo. Ghosts are always real estate agents who are trying to sell property and somehow manage to find some phosphorescent paint.
Sam Winchester said that that's not true when they went into the Scooby-Doo universe. Did you see that yet?
I did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What happened in that? That was a great episode that I didn't get to see.
They became cartoon. I made you watch that.
I know, but I don't remember.
Scooby Natural. They went into the Scooby universe, and it turned out that it was a real ghost for the first time. People were getting like chopped up into their body parts all over, and like and Shaggy got thrown off of a balcony and broke his arm, and it was like the first time that had ever happened. Anyway. Watch Supernatural.
I'm going to watch it again.
What so season, about that what cemetery
season, is that season 13.
Hey, Brian, stay on topic. What about the cemetery? You're going to tell us
I told you the Resurrection Mary.
Oh, that's it.
And,
okay.
But also, like, ghosts, a lot of the lore of ghosts is that, like, they don't know they're dead thing. And so they're usually either stuck in a thing that, like, Resurrection Mary, like
trying to solve a problem,
or it's a trauma that they don't understand that they're dead, and so yeah. They have to just keep reliving it,
deadening it's like being on Star Trek and getting stuck in a time loop.
Yes, it is a lot like that, like the episode Cause and Effect with the abandoned ship, until Beverly found out because of the card game, but ghosts, like a lot of the lore, like talks about most of the lore, like the agreed upon, like this is what ghosts are like when you move into a house and it's haunted, quote unquote, it's usually and then ghosts get really mad and try to like get you to leave. It's because they don't know they're dead. So like people just come into their house and start sleeping. Like think of how fucking crazy that is. That's a terrifying thought.
We call those Saturday nights.
I know. Mm-hmm.
When strange men come into my home and sleep. Ooh.
Yeah. So like
they don't sleep when they're in my room.
but you think like so you know in the practical sense, if somebody is a ghost, from their vantage point. They are trying to wrestle with the idea that their space has been invaded by the living.
Yeah.
And so that's actually a plot point of Beetlejuice, right? So Gina Davis and the guy who plays Trump on Saturday Night Live. Alec Baldwin drown in a fatal car accident. And then they are stuck in the house that they just moved into. And some obnoxious art snobs are trying to torment
pedophiles.
But they know that they're dead. They just want to stay in the house. Mm-hmm. So it's more. Did you ever see the Nicole Kidman movie, The Others?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like that where the spoiler for a fucking 20-year-old movie. spoilers. Okay. The ending is that Nicole Kidman and her kids are ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Sixth Sense.
And didn't she murder them?
I believe, or her. I remember, like, I haven't seen a hell of a long. I don't think I saw it since the theater, but I know that they were like photosensitive, so they couldn't go out into the sun. But maybe she killed them. I don't really remember. Mm. She married Tom Cruise. Did you know that?
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like at the end of a lot of these films with ghosts in them, the ghosts get some sort of a resolution, and they are no longer ghosts. They go into heaven, mm-hmm. And in some ways, you know, to me. Heaven seems more, you know, it's more awful because at least as a ghost, you can interact with the people that you knew and you can live. You can continue living your life, even though you're a spiritual being.
But you don't know what heaven is.
Yeah.
Heaven is just blank.
Have you not seen the documentary Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey where they go to heaven and meet smart dudes like Einstein? And Benjamin Franklin and these two aliens that keep saying station over and over.
Eureka,
that are the smartest
this burger
beings
and
the
fries is genius, says Einstein.
Yes. I don't know. But no, I guess you've never seen Bogus Journey. Mark,
have
you?
Of course. Yeah. But I mean,
they went to heaven.
That movie came out, 30 years ago?
Hey, it's still fresh in your mind, I'm sure. How long ago did the 70-year-old ghost have the dog?
That's true, but it had more impact on my life.
I was
actually just thinking about that dude who wrote that today. I was like, I got to check in with him and see if that next movie's coming out.
Bill and Ted?
Yeah, there's supposed to be another one.
Yeah, Keanu.
They're thinking of doing a reboot Alex with Winter. The actors reprising
yeah,
their
roles.
Yeah,
it's going to be part three, and because they were told that they were going to save the world, and then it didn't happen, and now they're like middle-aged losers.
That's what, and sounds they, like it's going to be like a Dumb and Dumber.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, there was. There's. It's the brunette blonde thing that was really big of with Wayne and Garth, Bill and Ted, Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. Like, it's just like those, you know, archetypes. Lovable dummies type of thing. I guess Wayne and Garth aren't really dummies, but like, yeah, like the ghosts. They have to sort of be jolted out of. It's like it. It seems like it's a really like sad thing. That they're like it's like a psychic wound that has sort of opened up in reality, and it just keeps replaying itself. And they don't have like consciousness. So like it's not like Beetlejuice. And I'm speaking of this like it's real, but here's what ghosts are. It's not like make them all sing Harry Belafonte songs with the preacher. From Heather's in the I Love My Dead Gay Son.
Well, and it's like with these ghosts scenes. Too, it's like it's not like you can just yell at them and be like, wake up, Pearl, wake up, and just like move on and get your life going. It's like, because you say like they don't have consciousness, so they're stuck in that perpetual state.
This is what
a great metaphor for like, you know, for people, because it's like when you're not very conscious about what you're doing, are you really living your life?
Well, it's
you're
very
just
depression.
A human. Like a ghost of a human being.
It's depression of like just sort of existing, but not being able to do anything and just sort of sleeping or laying around all the time and just wishing or not wishing and just being like, tomorrow I'll do better or whatever. But then like the people come in and like I assume that ghosts go after kids because if you like you can't beat up big people, so you're like, I'll just fucking try to get this kid out of my bed.
Easy prey.
Well, that's like the movie Poltergeist, right? Carol Ann was so innocent and so pure that, you know, the spiritual world had to have her. And
it was food.
In the third movie, the actress who played Carol Ann actually died in the making of the film.
You didn't move the bodies! You forgot to move the bodies!
You son of a bitch! You moved the cemeteries, but you left the bodies, didn't you? You left the bodies, didn't you? That's the actual quote.
That cemetery? That headstone?
What is that? Did you not see me, like, researching it before?
Did you not see Craig T. Nelson himself walk in here and do that line reading and then walk right out? That was amazing. Thanks,
Thank
Craig.
You.
Thanks,
You're
Coach.
And so, you know, I think... Like a film like Christmas Carol is really strange when we think about ghosts because they don't seem to be, with the exception of Jacob Marley, right? So Jacob Marley visits Scrooge and says, learn from my mistakes. I am a tormented spirit forever dragging my burdens of greed and
selfishness. Yeah, he's like a specter prophet. Yeah. Like people have dreams often, like... My father came to me or my grandfather or somebody like will come to you and say something. And so,
but then he's visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present and future. And so I have a question for you guys. Are these ghosts of Christmas time periods? Are they actually people who loved Christmas or hated Christmas so much they forever had to be Christmas past, present, and future, or what is that?
Well, you have the spirit of Christmas, right? You get into the Christmas spirit, so I think that Dickens just kind of took that one step further and be like, well, it's a spirit already. It's not, it's an experience. It's something you have. It's not just a holiday. There's something more to it.
And the ghost of Christmas past, of course, is where a lot of the basis of the modern idea of Santa Claus came from.
And so, you know, Tim Burton sort of took that logical step and created The Nightmare Before Christmas, where Halloween was also very much like a physical representation of the holiday.
Well, every holiday has its own town, but they don't know about one another. And so Jack Skellington falls out into the woods where all the doors are for the holidays, and he goes into the Christmas one. By accident, and he realizes that he wants Christmas instead of Halloween. He doesn't want to be scary anymore.
But the only ghost in Nightmare Before Christmas that I can recall is his dog, Zero.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of, like, dead things and just creatures, but yeah, his dog Zero is a ghost.
Yeah, I guess they just did that to be cute, but it's not like the dog had any... was not a tormented spirit that
Well, wouldn't Jack be a ghost, too, because he was a skeleton? He's a skeleton.
A skeleton.
Well, Sally, skeleton. His girlfriend, yeah, is like dead. A Frankenstein monster. Yeah. She's sewing on her body parts all the time.
Well, certainly the Corpse Bride, which was seen as a sequel to Nightmare Before Christmas, certainly explored this idea of, you know, the tormented spirits in the other world. And, certainly, you know, I think the Disney Pixar film Coco owes a lot to the way ghosts are portrayed in Corpse Bride. Mm-hmm. And certainly this idea of, you know, the, sort of the Mexican idea of the spirits come back to this world one magical night to share food and festivities with their living family members. And if they're not remembered, they cease to exist.
And just like you were saying earlier, about, we all have, like, unfinished business, so the ghost stories appeal to us. I feel like it's probably the bigger thing is that the existential crisis that all human beings have of there is a world and I'm not going to be part of it at a point. Mm. Every single human being understands that at a certain point somewhere, the world will keep going on and you won't be here. You'll be dead. So we come up. So, like, coming up with an idea like ghosts is a way of making sure that we can feel better, because it means subconsciously even that we keep going on somehow. Like,
it's a reaffirmation of the afterlife, that mm-hmm. there's some kind of purpose, that you have a purpose in your life, you have a purpose in your death. So in some ways it might be scary, but you're also saying in some ways it's a comfort.
And that's, the idea comfort. Behind the Dia de los Muertos, and especially as represented in the film Coco.
Did you just see Coco?
Yeah, I love Coco, man.
No, did you just see it, though?
I see it like once a month and I cry a little bit.
Oh, you wuss. I see it once a month and I do a shot and then get into a bar fight. That's what I do. I'm like, this is for Coco.
What about the film Poltergeist? Because it seems like, you know, at first in Poltergeist, the original film...
You forgot to move the bodies. Thanks, Craig.
The spirits are sort of... they're trying to figure out... You know, the real villain is not the ghosts. It's the real estate company.
Well, they're Native American spirits.
We don't know that in the first film. We find out in the sequel.
I thought that in the first film they say it was an Indian burial ground.
Oh, they might have hinted at that, but we don't really fully expressed
until
the sequel.
Because it was like coffins came up.
Yeah, Native Americans did not use coffins.
But then the second one... is that guy
then they re-
and the he's a cult plot, that's yeah. like underneath in caves and shit. Cade, yeah. Is that his name? Something
and,
like that.
I think RuPaul plays the minister. Oh, actually the guy who played the evil minister died of cancer like shortly after the film was released,
and he looked amazing. He looked so good too.
What's the matter, little girl? Are you lost? Why don't we sing a song together? God is in his holy temple.
And remember then her brother's braces become, they have a mind of their own, and then his braces come out of his mouth, and then it, like, webs them to the ceiling. And Craig T. Nelson drinks a worm out of a tequila bottle, and then it, like, comes out of his mouth.
But the worm then grows up and starts singing and dancing.
Gets,
hello, my baby.
Gets a wife. Gets a divorce. Second mortgage. Has a bunch of kids. He's trying to get through college. He's just doing his best.
You want to be scared? Look at the mortgage.
That was in Poltergeist 3. It was not scary at all. It was just this worm that kept going to work and back. And then he's like, you know, I try to run every so often, but just my knees can't handle it anymore.
And the condo association, what is it, the assessments? Oh, they're so high. It takes place in a condominium.
Yeah, in Chicago.
In Chicago. Hey,
hey, catch up on no hot dogs over here.
What about the film The Shining?
What about
brilliantly
it?
Brilliantly parodied in Peaches Christ's The Whining.
Yay, Peaches.
houses are haunted, but in this case, it's an old hotel. And Jack Nicholson is tormented not by necessarily the old ghosts, but the desire to create a book, to write.
And that hot naked woman in the bathtub, and you see her bush. And then she turns into a real ugly old woman, and then he's not happy anymore. And he's like, I need a drink from the ghost bartender. I saw a naked, ugly woman. Give me a shot, buddy. Look, look, look. Hey, is that olive oil? Oh, Popeye! I'm chasing you with an axe, baby. The end. Oh, save me, Popeye! And then Robin Williams comes in and fights Jack Nicholson.
For our listeners who are struggling with ghosts in their homes, I actually have some practical advice for you.
Like, move?
Get your head checked.
Well, you know, just because...
Throw the TV. Go to a hotel and then push the TV out.
Even though there's no scientific evidence that ghosts exist, you may not be crazy if you've actually seen one. There's a lot of information out there that says low frequency oscillation sounds can actually stimulate your brain into seeing aberrations or things that aren't necessarily there, or hearing sounds that don't necessarily make a lot of sense. If you're a person who is, for example, lives near a factory where there's construction being made, and those low frequency sounds have a way of getting close to you, you can actually experience ghosts and think you're losing your mind. And it actually has happened in various instances. But in terms of, like, you know, ghosts that you feel like your house is haunted, I think Mark has really good advice, is sometimes just getting some fresh air, getting out of the house and being around people can actually do a lot, because that ghost is a reflection of your life and your experience. And so, you know, making your life better and trying to be around the living actually can, you know, help the undead, if you believe that person is an undead spirit, move on. Because by you living your life authentically and pursuing your dreams and being connected to a community, that can actually, through example, just like in real life, I mean, if ghosts are human beings who are just tormented, then the same psychology that applies to human beings logically would apply to ghosts. And so the most important thing you can do if you're face-to-face with a spirit who seems to be breaking your dishes and causing all sorts of torment is just ask them, what do you need?
But how are you going to hear the answer?
Are they going to hear with cum in their ears? Sorry.
But you can say
what
to them,
a terrible story I keep dreaming.
And what I say to them is that sometimes the act of being compassionate and kind, even if that is a illusion, can actually be very healthy in allowing the person who's being tormented, the living, to move on. And so you can say to the ghost, it's okay, you have passed on. Your life probably had some unresolved issues, and it's okay to go on. It's
now,
okay to
you're
move
saying
on.
You should do this, or you should get, like,
if
a
you're
professional
in a
or a priest,
you know,
or something.
Those priests and those exorcists and those mediums, they're all basically, you know, dealing with, in some regards, they're amateur psychologists.
Zelda Rubinstein, is this what you're saying? Carolyn, all are welcome.
It's about, you remember what Zelda said, it's okay to move on. This, you know, this house is cleansed and stuff. And the thing about Poltergeist,
that house was not clean.
This house
it
is
was,
clean.
We learned that there was a much stronger presence than just your everyday ghost.
Yeah, Cade or whatever his name is.
But I think, you know, the thing about it is, if you're actually dealing with a ghost, it's tell them, and this is what I did because I read books about ghosts, and I believed that my house was haunted when I was a kid.
Why?
Because we would feel cold drafts, and we would things would fall, and then you would go investigate, and nothing fell. And
is this in Puerto Rico?
Uh-huh,
Puerto Rico. People are very superstitious. the people of the Latin persuasion are much more superstitious.
I grew up in the 80s in an urban environment. We were not very any more or less than Americans were.
I do feel
we are Americans.
I feel it seems like the more you're into, like, Catholicism and just Christianity stuff, the more you're open to seeing, like, Jesus and toast and wood grain and stuff like that. But it's also like you're more open because you're not like the clinical science, and maybe not Puerto Rico as
well. Yeah, but I know what you mean. Though. It's like I was raised Catholic, and those horror movies, those scary movies that have some kind of religious element to it, often can be much scarier than just if it's just a ghost in the house.
Well, that's also because that the main reason for that, and I don't mean this as a joke, the Catholic Church has the coolest looking shit out of anyone. The basic black, you cannot go wrong with a little splash of white. That's awesome. They have a bunch of churches and all that shit. Yeah. They walk in, they have the cloth, and they're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You will go. And like they're speaking in Latin. It's awesome. Like in The Exorcist, I think I said this before on the show, but it's a samurai movie, which I realized the last time I watched The Exorcist because. There's like this new guy, Father Karras, and he's like, oh, don't worry, I can handle this. And then he's like, oh, shit, I can't handle this. I have to talk to the old samurai who's cool. And they even have Father, I forget Max von Sydow's name, but Max von Sydow, they have him like alone by himself. And a guy, like a little boy, like runs up with a piece of paper to give him the note and to be like, hey, you need to help with this exorcist shit. You need to come out of hiding. And he like looks at it and it's like, my old foe, the one that got away from me, Pazuzu. And so, yeah, he has to go and help like the new guy to fight. To help him, and that's his old nemesis.
And that's the theme to a lot of samurai movies.
Yeah, the older guy comes in and helps with the new guy. It's Star Wars, which
it's
is based on
yeah,
which is based on the old samurai thing. Like Obi-Wan had to come and die, and then help Luke and to usher in the new. But they all die. Spoiler alert: they all die except Regan.
You know, low frequency oscillations can make you see things, but one funny one is called the brown sound or brown notes.
Ooh.
It's called sound frequencies between 5 and 9 hertz are rumored to make people lose control of their bowels.
Especially if it's popcorn. It hurts.
Should we play it on the show and
something.
See? So for the listeners who. I don't know if we should do this because it may actually make the listeners poop in their pants.
Do it.
Just it doesn't do
it. It would be irresponsible to do that.
The brown note is, you've never heard, the brown note is supposed to make everyone shit.
So maybe the let people control that, go onto YouTube and play the brown note and see if you feel like farting or taking a shit. But we're gonna pause the show right now and listen to a brown note. And see if it makes us want to take a shit. You guys want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I have it here on the.
Is this
iPhone.
A real thing?
Yeah,
it really is.
Have you ever
Mars
done
like
it before?
Science.
Yeah, it's, I save
a sound that makes you want to poop.
Yeah,
I save so much money on enemas because I just go to YouTube and I clean myself out. Can you imagine how much money you could put all the colonics out of business and shit?
Okay, guys, we're gonna play a brown note on the show. Caution is advised. Not shy. Okay, so I'll play Urgent right now. So that's the Foreigner. Now this is the sound.
Oh, Foreigners.
Okay, let's play
sound. That was some brown
this
air
supply.
This
is the actual brown sound. Are you guys ready for it?
Yeah. Yes, I'm scared. Sounds like a John Carpenter soundtrack. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a fart.
What if this is just a guy shitting slowed down like 7,000%?
Oh, baby. You're not shy, you get around. You wanna fly, you wanna move to the sound. You get up, it won't stay down. You run to the bathroom. Is this doing anything? Should I stop this? Should I go on?
I don't feel anything in my bowels.
Yeah.
I've already
shit. It does sound like a fart, though.
I shit a bunch of times already.
I'm wearing diapers.
Yeah. I've pissed myself a few times, not shit.
I'm gonna try to like listen to this while I'm taking a shit and later on and
see if it helps you.
Yeah, but so if you're already taking a shit.
Well, sometimes you see it on the toilet and it's like you still feel a little constipated, so maybe that'll get you going.
So, yeah. Guys, I'm going to post the link to the From Note video on YouTube. And if you guys want to listen to it and... I guess it worked.
Sorry, guys. No, that had nothing to do. I wasn't even listening.
Now, Brian, you have a girlfriend named Mary. Do you guys ever, like, stare in the mirror and do, like, Bloody Mary? And...
On her period? Yeah. That's what we did. Oh, wait, was that the joke? Out. Did I step on that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I would never joke about your girlfriend's period.
That's no laughing matter. I've never done it, but I'm afraid to say Bloody Mary in the mirror, so no, I wouldn't do that shit.
Well, the thing is, like, you're supposed to, like, stare at yourself at the mirror and say it, like, three times, so you're supposed to do it kind of slowly, and so she's supposed to appear, and it's, for some people, she actually does appear, but it's, like, it's not because it's that, but if you stare at something long enough, sometimes you get this effect called the Troxler's fading, and, like, things will, like, if you stand and, like, just stare at somebody's face at a distance for a long time, like in a darkish room, like you'll see, like the body starts to
morph.
It doesn't know how to react to it, and so it will, like, your head will get big, it'll get small, and your, like, eyeballs will pop out, and things will happen. Your brain's just trying to fill in that information the only way it can.
The brain sees things through memory, and so when your brain can't process what it's seeing, it starts to create hallucinations, and that's where we start. You know, when you take drugs. Like acid.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's kind of what's happening, is the brain isn't understanding the information that's coming at it and starts distorting.
Alice. One, you in darkened room. Two, your eyeball falls out.
You know, so I think there's another aspect is when you see your own reflection in a mirror.
Ugh.
They say you're seeing your future ghost that's already haunting this world, but you haven't died yet. And so in some films, we see that happening.
Says this?
Well, that's just, how people feel about, you know, the supernatural world and stuff. And I don't watch your stupid TV show.
Well, no, I was wondering, who's like, you know what ghosts are?
Your future dead self in a mirror, that the mirror is kind of the gateway into another world.
Are you not watching The Haunting of Hill House?
Not yet,
Netflix?
No.
Okay. Well, I won't spoil it for you then.
Thank you. I like my Carla Gugino.
And again, it's like, you know, some films, there's nothing you can do. If death is coming at you.
Like Final Destination.
You just gotta let that roller coaster chop your head off.
But
when I was a kid, I had a... irrational fear of my head being chopped off.
I think that's a very rational fear. It would be weird if you're like, chopped off head, who cares?
But you know what that stimulated that fear was? We went to
killed a 7-year-old woman and came in her ear.
No, we went to
back in Erie, Pennsylvania.
In Puerto Rico, my friend Adam Small's family ran a carnival. And one of the featured events or freak shows was Meet the Woman with No Head.
And they would chop off head. They chop off a woman's head every year.
She had a body, she had a very sexy body, but her head was like enclosed in a, you know, some kind of helmet to make give the illusion that the woman who was alive, but she had no head, you know. And so it was kind of a lame thing. I don't know. As a kid, I refused to look at it. I didn't want to see it. And for the rest, for good time, I was fearful that somebody who created that sideshow was out to get people. And so I always slept with my hands above my head. So if somebody were to chop my head off, they would have to chop my arms off. And then the illusion would be ruined. It's a 60-year-old, you know.
There was a bunch of axe murderers who came into young Fausto's room, and he's like, arms, my one weakness. And then he walked away.
The aesthetic is ruined. It's like when you spray paint like a fur coat or something. Yeah. Like, you can't ever wear this again.
That's the, you know, like a PETA activist.
Yeah, and kids' hands are like sticky and gross. You don't want that. I just came here to chop your head off.
Have you ever had sex with a ghost, like, or heard of somebody, you know, sort of the Romans, Zeus used to manifest himself in a spiritual form, even as a cloud, and impregnate women. So
it I've gave done women that, yes. To,
but have you ever known somebody or heard of somebody who like got, had sex
some,
with a ghost?
I had some sleep paralysis once, and I felt like I had some like some kind of demon on top of me that was trying to do things to me.
Where is this on Steamworks?
No, it was actually it was like I would say it was probably like 1998 or something like that.
Ooh, prime laying
in
prime
bed.
Mark.
Are you prime my prime slab. Now?
Slab.
But I just remember like being frozen and not being, and that's happened to me a couple of times where I've had that sleep paralysis, but it just felt like I had this incredible weight on top of me. And I'm like, I know this isn't happening, but it's so weird.
Because I'm no bottom.
Have you seen the news story that's being passed around about the flight attendant who had sex with a porn star while he was, I guess, he was...
Off duty,
but he's still on the plane.
And he was wearing his uniform.
And he was wearing his uniform, and the customer... The passengers like looking at him going, hey, you want to go into the Mile High Club? And he's like, fuck yeah. It was a porn star, Austin Wolf.
Oh, I know him.
Who's very sexy. Super fucking hot. But he's kind of a...
Is he on Cody Johnson? What's it called?
He's $1,200 a day if you want him, Brian.
Oh, cool. Cody Banks? What's the Cody?
Go fund
Cody,
me for Brian's
Cody
gay
Jackson?
Experience. No, Austin Wolf.
No, what's the Cody?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. The porn site.
You want to name drop a porn site? Is you're just throwing out the names of transgender men.
I don't know. What you, I have no idea what that meant, but yes. let's run through those.
Gabriel, Jackson, Cody.
I said Cody Jackson or Johnson. Cody Banks. That's Agent close. K.O. Cody Banks.
Oh, it's Sean Lewis.
But the thing is, it's like, who filmed it? Like, the porn star filmed it?
So he has, Austin Wolf has, I guess, a fetish, an obsession with filming himself having sex with people. And sometimes he tells people, which is ethical, and sometimes he doesn't, which is unethical.
Which is hotter.
Yeah.
like the other Baldwin brother in Flatliners. Remember, he had a bunch of videos.
Have you? And I've no? been with somebody who I caught them like filming me, and I'm just like,
"Hey, Brian, stop!"
I was like out of there in a heartbeat because I was like, "I do not, you know." First of all, I know what I look like, and I'm realistic, and I know that you know porn has to be well lit, has to be shot, and if somebody like is filming you with their smartphone, it's going to look like you know what this video looks like. So if you guys want to see it. Message me on Facebook.
Oh, you've seen the video?
Because, honey, I do research for this podcast.
Did he
okay?
come?
So he gave him oral, and then he turned
that's
around and
sex.
Gave him anal.
Oh, that's sex.
And so he's fucking the flight attendant, Austin Wolf. And
wait, you shouldn't be sharing that. That's a violation of someone's
wait,
trust.
Where are they?
Well, I don't know. He posted it on his
social
media.
No, where are
media.
They physically in the video?
In the plane.
On
the plane.
Where? On the
in
bathroom.
The bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
Okay, I'm not going to share it, so don't ask me for it.
Let me see yeah. that. Ooh, this is great.
Do you want to watch it?
Ooh.
I have it on my phone.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll let it
do they that. Come? Does he come?
No, because the video cuts out.
Boo. Austin, I thought you were better than this.
Yeah, you
this
suck.
This is some bullshit, Austin.
Yeah, you want to see? Here it is. Here, guys. I'm going to play it for you. So there he is. So the blue light is the bathroom, and that's Austin Wolf because that's his tattoos. He also posted it on his Twitter account. That's where people got it. And that's a flight attendant.
His
and his name tag is on there.
Oh.
Brian, look at the gay porn. I'm playing it for you.
He has a nice watch on.
And so this is Dick, and he's sucking him
uncut.
Off.
Hey, it's Wilson Cruz.
He wow. does look like Wilson Cruz.
And so if you scat forward, it's only like... so you
scat forward?
So I can scrub. So this is what that looks like. It's like a time
he is a
video.
Boring blowjob giver. He's not even licking
and
those balls.
And then he gets up, and he gives him anal. Look. And we turn around. Yeah, in the butt, baby.
The Mile High Club. What is it? 90% of people said that they wouldn't have sex in an airplane.
So they did a survey, and they said about 90% of passengers fantasize about having sex on an airplane.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'm guilty.
Most, I mean, for the most part.
Of fantasizing. No.
Yeah, fantasies, though, are... always better in your head. I don't know. If you have a private plane, I guess, but...
I'd rather take a shower on an airplane than, you know,
yeah,
get a golden
doing
shower
it in a bathroom, in an airplane bathroom sounds that's just so gross. Regardless, I don't know who.
Stop.
Sex can be gross.
Yeah. Stop condemning people's fetishes, Brian. Stop being so sex negative.
I mean, it is sexy just looking at the weird blue Drano inside the toilet while you blow a load.
I just want to say what a wonderful friendship Mark and I have with Brian. That, and Brian identifies as a cis het white male.
Sissy.
It's really hard to be a cis white het male right now.
It really has been, but thank God we got him on the Supreme Court, guys.
That I can show you, you know, some pretty raunchy gay porn, and you look at it and unblink, you know.
Well, Mark, Jesse watching TV.
You kind of looks at him like, I don't understand what's happening.
It's like our dog trying to smell the TV set to see if there's any meat on it.
You read the reviews I did for the gay porn, the gay son and daddy porn?
Yeah.
You're such a gay porn hero.
Gay porn is just, it's like boring. It doesn't do anything for me.
But here's the question. You guys have quit jobs for less. Would you risk getting fired from a job for 8 minutes of heaven with somebody who you thought was
very hot?
He probably
thought he was going to get away with it and probably didn't maybe realize that it would be all over the internet. Mm. Or maybe he thought, you know what, I'm going to do it because this porn star is so hot and I'm obsessed with porn stars, and who knows?
But the question is, would you guys compromise yourselves in that situation?
I mean, I guess it all depends on where my station is in life.
Yeah.
If I guess it's a once in a lifetime. I don't know. Like, I feel like I wouldn't.
Like, if Rena Riffle said, "All right, Brian,"
I don't think so.
Let's go to the bathroom. Who's the hottest, you know, celebrity fantasy for you?
Jensen Ackles.
Gina Gershon.
Gina Gershon, yes. She was in
Suzanne Summers. Paula Abdul.
Paula Prentice. Let me think. Who else is there? Lola Falana. Let me see.
Mark, who do you fantasize about, celebrity wise?
Oh, celebrity? I think about Chris Hemsworth every now and then.
But one person that you're really turned on by is Instagram hunk Matt Wolf is his name?
Oh, yeah, he is very sexy.
Is that his name?
No, Matt Camp.
Matt Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Who's now the... But
I didn't know who he was. I met him before I knew who he was.
I fucked him in an airplane bathroom. No, did I ever tell you that?
No,
I thought I told you guys that. I have a video.
Yeah. I met him, and I was just like,
who is this hot guy? It was like instant boner, and then I was just like, oh my God, no wonder he's been like a go-go boy fixture in New York for years.
One of the most famous...
Yes, go-go boys ever.
Yeah.
What's a go-go boy?
You know, you get up there and dance in your shorts and you hang out at parties.
So then you get passed around?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then you...
Butthole treated like an ashtray. We've all been there. We all know what you have to do in New York.
You know, and that's the thing about, Instagram is a great way to fantasize about people are actually I wish that more gay men used Instagram instead of Grindr or Scruff.
There's hardly any gay men on Instagram.
Because the idea is you want to form relationships based more than on just a handful of photos. You want to develop relationships based on interests. And the nice thing about an app like Instagram is that allows you to take pictures of things you find interesting, as well as yourself and your friends and family, and create a much richer picture of who you are as a person. So even though you're superficially attracted to that person because they look good in that t-shirt or they look good naked, you can also develop a relationship based on a lot more. And, you know, I think people are much more kinder to each other when they're not treated as cattle. And I think those hookup apps really do a very poor job of treating their users respectfully. So they're Grindr saying, "Oh, I want to have kinder. We want to, fight racism," but they're not really interested in that. They're just using that as link bait to, get traffic for their content so they can sell ads. If they really wanted to stop racism and exploitation and, people treating each other poorly on these hookup apps, they would change the way the app works and allow people to create content and do a lot more than just, sharing their dick pics with each other. That's just my opinion.
I don't know. I feel like the best relationships are based on whole pics. And making sure you specify no rice queens. That's what I feel like is very important.
I think, I think a lot of that stuff is stemming from because people just don't know how to talk to each other and communicate. And, you know, it's like, if you, you know, believe me, there are going to be bigots and assholes and horrible people everywhere. But I feel like, you know, if anything of these hookup apps is that they're set up to allow people to be anonymously rude to each other and mean and horrible. Whereas if you're on a social media,
your own ghosts, ghosts are in your phone.
Yeah, it's like the calls coming from inside the house. Jamie Lee Curtis.
That was Carol Kane.
Oh,
was it?
Yeah. Don't answer the phone. Oh, no. Yeah. When a stranger calls.
Mm.
So I don't know. To me, it's like, you know, if we want people to treat each other kinder, we want to fight discrimination, racism, bigotry, femphobia, transphobia, all this stuff. We have to allow people to communicate in deeper, more meaningful ways.
I don't think Grindr cares.
They don't care. They're swimming in money. You know, they're not even, they're owned by some Chinese company that's selling our private data to medical companies, and they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Fuck those assholes.
But at least syphilis has made a comeback. I mean, you can say what you want about Grindr.
HIV, AIDS is down, though.
Well, yeah, because we got PrEP.
Yeah.
That's why we just have syphilis and chlamydia or whatever.
And I don't know if it's, maybe it has gotten bigger. I don't know. People get checked more often when they're on PrEP, so.
Well, yeah, in order to qualify for those pills, you have to go see a doctor every so often and get screened for STIs. And research has shown that if you regularly screen for STIs, you're going to get treated for those STIs as you catch them, and you're less likely to spread them. So putting people on PrEP also means putting people on regular sexually transmitted infections screenings. And so it's not just the pills that they're taking. You know, it's a much bigger thing.
I
think that's what a lot of people don't really understand about it.
What is that dude in the airplane bathroom? Do you think he was like, hey, let me see your last tests?
No, I think hopefully he's on PrEP and he's getting screened regularly for sexually transmitted infections. But honey, if Austin Wolf wants to put his dick up your butt, there's a lot of few people who would say no to that, you know?
Well, I feel like Austin Wolf's on the honor system. He would tell you.
He'd be like, he's like, I'm recording you right now. Do I have your permission?
Or a steward that allows porn stars to just fuck him in the ass in the middle of an airplane.
Listen, I tell you, I've been at jobs in my life, in my very colorful life, that I was like, if this person's hitting me up, I might have to walk out, and you know.
If this lose my job, I lose it.
You know, I said, I hope my manager forgives me, baby, but it's like, this guy is too damn hot. I'm taking a break, just like in, an Officer and a Gentleman?
That's actually
how Mark and I got together. I was working in a factory, and he came in, and
you picked him up, and he picked you up and walked you out.
And he says, I'm going on a break. And I'm not coming back.
And you were like, I'm Deborah Brian, Winger. Ooh.
Brian, you wrote a book.
Oh my God, the book.
It's called Guru.
No,
by RuPaul.
That's, we have RuPaul's book. I got it.
Okay, so we're supposed to say, no, she didn't do shit, the publicist. But we have it here if you want it. Write to us, and that's our book giveaway.
Ooh.
Go get it. First person to write,
click the link below.
First person who buys a t-shirt,
remember to subscribe,
and says, I want RuPaul's book Guru, that has all these great color photos of RuPaul in it, saying bitches better beware.
But
folks don't talk shit about you anyway, so might as well go ahead and do your own thing.
We'll all come in it. Can we come in it?
Come in their ear.
We'll all come in the book, and that's how you know that it's from us.
Throwing shade takes a bit of creativity. Being a bitch takes none.
Oh.
Ooh.
The shade
is clever
strong.
Things like that in your book about Elon Musk.
I don't. I'm not. No?
What did you write? Did you write about Elon Musk?
Who's Elon Musk for people who don't know who this guy is?
He's a billionaire. He was like the head of Tesla, but then he smoked weed on Joe Rogan's podcast and called like a Chilean miner a pedophile, so now he's not going to be the CEO. But anyway, it's called Welcome to the Future, Which is Mine by not Elon Musk, and it's edited by Onion co-founder and editor-in-chief Scott Dickers, and you can get it wherever great books are sold.
How many people have written in this book?
I don't know, 15, 20, okay, around there. And we worked very hard on it, and it's a really funny book. Welcome to the Future, Which is Mine.
Are you allowed to say which parts you... Because, like, last when you did the Trump book, you actually wrote about Trump's penis before Trump's penis was actually in the news.
Yes. There are jokes that I wrote that are in there and stuff that I wrote about Elon Musk's penis. And but I don't know 100% the stuff that I wrote, because it's not just like there's a lot of stuff that like I came up with the ideas for, or I wrote like the framing of, but I didn't make all the jokes. It was a severe like group effort. But there's a thing I wrote about not to freak out if you're an organ donor that matched with Elon Musk, because it doesn't necessarily mean that a surgeon is going to just remove one of your organs for Elon Musk. It's a very funny book. Everyone should go get it. It's wonderful. We have 7 copies here that everyone's read. Jesse just ate 6 of them, and it's wonderful. Everyone should be...
I don't want to pick up his poop tomorrow.
Oh, no. It'll be really funny, though. I promise. It's a really, really great book. I'm terrible at selling. Welcome to the Future, which is mine, by not Elon Musk. A parody. Get it. I'll sign it. Thank you. Oh,
you
no.
really do a great job of promoting that book.
A devil dog. Well, I didn't bring it with me on accident.
Well, we'll do another show about Elon Musk and what a shithead he is.
He does suck, but...
Why is Elon... So Elon Musk is best known as the sort of a creator, the Steve Jobs equivalent to Tesla Motor Company,
yeah,
which is a car company known for creating electric cars.
He shoots rockets.
And they're very well-designed, developed cars, and that's kind of what... Electric cars. Yeah. And so that's where he sort of built his fame and fortune.
Yeah, and he wants to get...
So that's a good thing.
He's a shithead.
Why is he such a horrible, awful person?
Well, he's a billionaire. There's no such thing as a billionaire as a good person.
Besides being a billionaire, though.
He's just a gigantic asshole union-busting fuckface. Like, he sucks so much, but he and Peter Thiel, who's a much worse
the PayPal
person, who's
founder.
Even worse, yeah, both of them.
Ultra right wing conservative and gay.
Yeah, and just a terrible human being. Yeah. They founded PayPal together, and that's
where
they got
their money.
Oh, so
that's where he got his seed money to start Tesla Motors.
Yeah, but he came up with a bunch of, like, the Tesla thing was a big, and he likes to shoot rockets, and he wants to go to Mars, like...
And he did a publicity stunt where he shot a car into outer space.
Yeah. And
hence the cover of the book.
Yes. And there's a really funny thing where he has to shoot an auto mechanic up there, too, to take care of the space car.
That's pretty good.
See? Yeah. It's a very funny book.
Yeah, it's actually a funny book.
And dick jokes and...
they probably make a good Halloween gift, right?
Yes. And the billionaires have a secret hideout that's inside of a volcano. And much like the Legion of Doom, that's a Brian Sweeney idea. Then the billionaires all have evil villain monologues that they give. It's a really good book. There's pictures, so you don't have to read too much. It's funny.
Are they artist renderings or are they like photos?
Photos, and there are artist renderings. And there's a bunch of napkins that Elon Musk has jotted down ideas for future things. Like the self-doubting car is one.
What does the self-doubting car do?
Do you want to give the book away?
The self-doubting car feels it has lower it feels that it has lower resale value when it sees newer models, stuff like that.
Oh,
very funny joke.
That sounds really fun.
It's
Brian,
a funny joke.
What are you and your girlfriend going for Halloween?
We're going as Mark and Fausto.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, sexy costumes this year.
Wow. Which one are you going to be?
I'm going to be the Arkfau. So she's going to take over on the sides.
Do you guys do couples costumes?
No. I don't have anything. I'm actually
are you an anti-costume person?
In my late 30s. No, I'm not. But I'm not gay, and I'm not a young child. So there's not a real reason for me to...
You don't
want
to just dress up to be fantasy and have fun.
You look so cute dressed up in a Chewbacca hoodie.
What? Okay. A Chewbacca
hoodie.
You can
be like dressed up as Princess Leia. And then you can lay her.
Lay Mary?
Yeah, you can do Jabba the Hutt. She could be Slave Leia.
Slave Leia. That's cold. It's a very cold. Oh. I got my hair cut by a guy. one of you people. And he... one of the people that is doing a seance trying to get Judy Garland to talk to him. He said that he's going as Harley Quinn, and he said he was going to wear the booty shorts. And I was like, that sounds cold. Like, it sounded really cold.
What are we going as for Halloween?
I don't know yet. I haven't had a chance to think about it.
Well, since this is your year to be a Norwegian reality TV star.
Oh, right.
Maybe we were thinking about dressing up as Norwegian Vikings.
Let's do Vikings.
You have to wear your hat.
We got the hats for it. We got the Viking outfits.
No, but Mark has to wear his hat, the hat that he has on the show.
Which? Oh, that's kind of...
Oh, no. I like...
You want the horny hat.
Whenever I do watch the clips that you put on, and it's all about... It's all Mark saying he wants to learn about his family. That's what I keep seeing.
And some dicks.
Yeah, but they're like, what would you like most to do? And that's, he's like, I really want to learn about my family.
That's the emotional essence of the show. That's what they want to show.
Just for the record, that's not what Mark was interested in.
Yeah, I know. Of course. It's, well, and also drinking that stuff.
Drinking.
Did you drink all that?
What?
The stuff that you brought back, that shit was powerful.
Oh, the aquavit?
Yeah, and I did a shot, and it felt like I got punched in the head.
Actually, I have some more. Do you want some more?
Not right now. I need to drive home. That shit
I wouldn't mind a shot of aquavit.
Okay.
It is some. Good. It was good.
And that's surprising because you just don't drink.
I don't drink, but I mean, I enjoy feeling high.
Well, you have to kind of like caraway because like caraway seed is like the main flavor.
I feel like you don't have to care or don't have to like anything because it gets you drunk really fast. So yeah. Who gives a shit?
But it's kind of taste always reminds me of a Reuben sandwich. Yeah, because Reubens are always on that rye bread.
Reuben
you
Studdard.
Mean from American Idol?
Rye Bread Radio with Reuben Studdard?
Oh, a little moment of silence for Rye Bread Radio.
Rye Bread.
That brought us Brian Sweeney 10 years ago. That was
Hello.
The pod we met
10
you.
Years ago. It wasn't 10.
It can't be 10
it was years. For like 6 or 7.
At least.
And on from, this very
I feel
night.
Like when I met you, you were 32 or 33.
The age Christ died. Perhaps.
Yeah, and that's what you actually said. After 50 years, puppeteer, comedian, performer, what's his name again? Carol Spinney. I'm just kidding.
Sesame Street.
From Sesame Street is retiring. He's not dead. He's fine. He's doing great. He just wants to, you know, let other people carry the amazing responsibility of portraying and performing Big Bird. So recently, puppeteer Matt Vogel has been doing Big Bird, but
I thought he was different.
Up to this, I'm sorry. Let me clarify that. Carol Spinney, up to this date, has been doing Big Bird's voice, and Big Bird started as a puppet. You know, Jim Henson. I guess the idea is that they were holding his hand above his head to operate the head.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early versions of Big Bird, they didn't have like a camera or anything. He just would look through a hole through the feathers.
Oh, really?
Which I just imagine is just so fucking hard.
Not
of course,
really.
Quickly, as Children's Television Workshop and Sesame Street developed and grew, they were able to put a closed caption camera system inside a Big Bird's outfit. But even carrying a video camera that's connected to the one of the eyes of Big Bird, and a cable and a TV set strapped to your stomach and doing all this stuff was extremely physically demanding. And Carol Spinney for 50 years has played one of the most iconic puppets of all time.
You know who else he's played?
Who?
Oscar the Grouch.
Yes. And Big Bird's grandmother. You know her name? This is true.
Who?
Ellen.
Yes, Ellen.
No. Is it really?
No. Granny Bird.
Aww.
What kind of bird is Big Bird?
Isn't he a canary?
He's a golden condor.
That's right.
Yeah, just for... I know my Sesame Street.
He has a very short wingspan for a condor, though.
Well, he's a big
condors
bird.
Condors are
he's
the birds that have like the longest wingspan, don't they?
I guess so, you know.
And but, he... Oh, Spinney also drew the iconic drawing of Mr. Hooper that sits near Big Bird's nest after his death.
Aww.
And he painted something called the Luna Bird showing Big Bird walking on the moon.
Is Carol going to do other things, or is Carol just like... How old is Carol now?
He's in a spry 84 years old, I'm pretty sure I know what his next move is.
And interestingly enough, this week my mother is retiring from a lifetime as being a Spanish teacher for college students.
Congratulations, ooh, Patricia.
So my mom is, like Harold Spinney, opening up new experiences, new possibilities.
Ooh, romance maybe between Carol and Patricia?
maybe.
Well, they're different cities and locations.
Got to put your hand up somewhere. Carol?
But it is hard, you know, like so much of what we think about ourselves and who we are is defined by our jobs. Mark and I auditioned for a reality TV show recently, and they asked us, like, who are you? What do you do? And it was really hard for me to talk about my life isolated from all these projects that we do. And so it kind of made me, you know, think about, it's like, maybe I'm not ready to be on this show yet. It's like, it's because I'm not ready to sort of talk about my life and food isolated from Feast of Fun and Cooking with Drag Queens.
Was it Chopped?
It was one of those, you know, major television shows, and I made it.
Seinfeld?
Yeah, Seinfeld, the recast. Wow. Did you see the Conners without Roseanne Barr?
No.
So Roseanne Barr said she posted the racist tweet at 2 a.m, and when she woke up, she there's a video interviewing her. And she's saying that the NBC, ABC executives called her and they were basically, we're done with you.
Yeah, but see, like, I don't know. Like, this is all so fucking stupid because she's trying to get, like, a technicality or whatever and be like, this is a one-time thing.
And it's
not. Yeah, she had the exact same thing that she said about Susan Rice, I believe, looking mm-hmm. like she's from Planet of the Apes. She had said that already on Twitter before this. She constantly had said terrible things about the Obamas. She says terrible things about Muslims. All racist shit. She is a known terrible human being. She's not just racist, but transphobic. She's awful.
She's trying to position herself that a lot of the awful things that she said have been a consequence of her mental health.
But it's not just her.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Like Sarah Gilbert and Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman and all them, like, this, you knew who this person was. Like, she
still did it.
She is a terrible human being who constantly puts out like the awful shit, like Pizzagate and the worst of the conspiracy theories. Like, she's made this world a worse place for just being in it. And so, like, and the people, and those people helped her. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Sarah Gilbert can pretend all she wants and like cry and shit and be like,
she knew she was terrible.
Yeah. So go fuck yourself. Because also, like, yeah, it's just like,
it's so weird because, like, you know, I was an adult when Roseanne first came out and she was the domestic goddess and she was like a voice for women and she's like, women could be funny and she was a powerhouse comedian. And then to see like this horribly ugly side to her, it's so disheartening.
Well, it happens to a lot of people, but like, she just also became this weirdo that is not only like this all in for Israel person, like that's like her main thing, but that's not really her main thing. She's just a bad person, and the stories we would always hear about Roseanne, and then, but you could sort of say like, well, people don't like strong women, and of course that's true, but that doesn't but both things can be true. Roseanne can be awful and it can be a very bad world for strong women who stand up for themselves. And I think, like, I just think that, like, this is one of those things where there is a perfect storm or a perfect, like, sort of nexus point of those two things. And so Roseanne sucks.
Sure. So in terms of, like, rebooting the series without her and sort of keeping all the writers and all the other actors still in work, do you think it's relevant? Or part of me is just, like, I wasn't interested I was interested in the train wreck that the Roseanne reboot was. But now they're just trying to turn into just another, you know, sitcom. And I'm just like, I'm not interested.
Well, I mean, that's also, it's easy to boycott or say, like, who cares when you're not invested in the thing. So when
that I would watch either way.
Yeah. And so if it was something that I was into or whatever, then I would be like hoping or, you know, if they can make it work, then, like, I hope so, like, because people seem to really, really like it. And
well, as many people watched this new episode as has watched, like, the final episode that they showed.
Yeah, but that's also not you can't really tell with that. Like, that's, you'll see, like, what happens in, like, 2 weeks mm-hmm. or whatever. If
well, I mean, you have really, really strong actors in that show. So hopefully they can pull it off.
But the show is Roseanne. Like, it's,
well, no, it's
it
not.
Is,
the Connors now.
I know, but I mean, like, this is Roseanne.
One bitch so, like, won't it's a, do, another one will.
Yeah, it's,
Remember that, Brian.
I try.
Say that to Mary sometime.
I always do. That's what I
marry
say
your girlfriend.
Instead of good night. That's what I say.
Remember.
But remember, I can make this end just like that.
Just like Q.
I met a dude whose name, his parents wanted to name him Q.
Oh, God, after, that's annoying.
After that TV
John
show.
John DeLance's character.
They, yeah, because they really were, Star, they were Star Trek fans, but they didn't want to give the kids just the
editor's name, note.
Q, so they named him like Juan Zacarias instead.
Juan Zacarius?
Something like that, yeah.
And with a Q? This, like yeah. Juan Zacarius with a Q?
And yeah. This guy's a white guy.
No, he's part
okay.
black.
Okay.
Yeah. He was actually on, like, season 6 of Alt for Noga.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love him.
Are those are the only people you talk to now?
Yeah.
It's my family. We have rarefied air up here with our caro seed drink.
Well, it turns out that the young woman who was very excited and helpful in the first episode and giving you guys directions is a big fan of Feast of Fun.
Well, her friend is.
No, she herself listened to the early days of the podcast.
Oh, wait, I saw that when you guys were all running around and you guys got there first. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about? See, no, I watched the
we
show.
We didn't get there first.
Oh.
You didn't watch the same show.
I saw it when you guys were, like, looking for stuff and, like, running around and you had to find whatever.
Things.
You had to get there at the first time for the burr, whatever. And then you were on a picnic bench. And you were like,
coffee is great.
Yeah, and everyone's like, this is just amazing. I want to move here. And it's like, all right, guys, why don't you calm down?
Tell me more, Brian.
It's like, well, it reminded me of like camp when you're like, oh, let's all meet again and stuff.
You're like, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if Norway is really good and you hate minorities and you just want white people. It's great. I'm just kidding. I'm sure there's plenty of minorities in Norway. Are there? I don't know.
There are. There's people who have emigrated there. Certainly. There's
just white people with tans.
No. There's a sizable, like, Pakistani community, a Middle Eastern community. When I was up in the Arctic Circle, I asked one guy for directions. He was he looked to me like he was from, like, Somalia or Eritrea or something like that. And I asked him, like, where something was. He's like, oh, man, don't ask me.
Eritrea?
Atreyu? Atreyu? What is it?
So
he was just like, man, don't ask me. I just moved here. I don't know what I'm doing here either.
Wait, he talked like a New Yorker?
He kind of did.
Hey, over here. Why don't you?
Over here.
Hey, sit on this, pally.
He's like, I don't know, man. I just moved here myself.
So, Sophie Leverson, she is openly trans, and she is a politician.
You're saying, a viewer.
So she is she was there with you with, well, okay, the Team Red. You never met her, but she met the other, she was on the premiere episode, and I reached out to her.
Mark snubbed her.
Yeah.
Like, I just never ran into her. I didn't
but
see her.
But anyways, Sophie was a regular listener of this podcast back in the Feast of Fools days. Mm-hmm. And got turned on to RuPaul's Drag Race from us.
Okay.
And now she's a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race and doesn't listen to this podcast anymore.
Yesterday's news.
She's missing out. She doesn't
but
know.
But the new book, Guru by RuPaul, is available on Amazon.
Wherever fine drag queen books are sold.
Or at DragCon, where you can stand for 3 hours.
No, she didn't have a VIP meet and greet.
Oh, no, right.
There's a bunch of pictures in here, and it looks like it's only pictures, and what is there, about 40 words and all?
Quick reminder, having a fat ass is a good thing.
Let me read one thing. Give it to me. I'm going to open
just
it up.
Just random. And it's an easy book to read, because you just basically, it's photos of RuPaul that have been done by Matthew Anderson, but they do not give him credit at all in the book. It's all copyright World of Wonder. They don't even list the name of the photographer, which I don't think is cool. I would like to know who took these pictures, because a lot of these photos are iconic.
Wait, that's Ru?
That's RuPaul, yeah.
She looks so good.
Well, she's white.
Try a look from a different era. Late 1960s glam is one of my favorites. It involves big hair, top and lower spider lashes, and frosted lipstick. I draw inspiration here from the film Valley of the Dolls, a marvelous camp classic based on the book of the same name by Jacqueline Suzanne.
Ah, yes, the little-known movie Valley of the Dolls that no drag queen would possibly have heard of. Thank you, Rue.
Listen, the children don't know. The children need to be
educated. You have to understand that some of the fans of the show are people who are just like discovering LGBT culture for the first time. And it's great that the show is actually making a lot of that accessible to people who have no other way of knowing about it besides, you know, searching the internet.
She looks jacked in this picture.
RuPaul lifts weights. She meditates for an hour every day.
Wow.
I also, we call that sleeping, but...
I've been a daydreamer since day one. I much prefer looking out a window over looking at my phone. My lips are overdrawn to compensate for my lack of giving a shit.
It's fun.
Oh, it is fun.
Yeah. Brian Sweeney. Your book.
It's been too long.
My book is all about how I like looking out windows.
I'll tell you a story about that.
Welcome to the Future, which is mine. Definitely not written by Elon Musk, is also available on places you can buy books.
And the audiobook is coming next month.
Are you narrating?
I am not, but boom. Someone exciting is.
Oh, really? Do you need help narrating?
No. Thank you, though. Right. I have nothing to do with it. He looks like a lizard man. He's a big weirdo.
Isn't he going to make a battery that's going to save the world?
No.
He's
an idiot. Okay. They're all idiots. All these Silicon Valley, they're all terrible idiots. Everyone's a moron. He's the exact same as,
but he's
like,
rich. How can he be a moron and be rich?
Yeah.
How does that work? True. Here's a dirty little secret, everyone. Almost every rich person is a moron.
Not Warren Buffett.
I want to remind folks that we can't podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
I liked him when I thought his name was Warren Buffet.
Like Phoebe?
No, I thought it was, you know, like the guy who invented buffets, and that's how he got rich, because he owned Old Country Buffet. And I was
That's how you say Old Country Buffet?
How do you pronounce Buffett or Buffet?
It's Buffet. Buffet. Yes.
Buffet.
Buffet.
Some people say Buffet.
Oh.
That's how the French say it, right?
I hope not.
Listen, I am a sophisticated person. I call it buffet.
Look, listen, we fought World War II, so we wouldn't have to say buffet. We say buffet, buddy. We call it Paris, not Paris.
And I want to go back for seconds.
Nice.
So, folks, if you want to listen to all of Feast of Fun, lots and lots of decades of amazing shows with Brian Sweeney, you can access them on our archives. Go to feastoffun.com/plus. Where you can become a member and listen to so many podcasts, you won't have enough days left in your life to listen to them.
Like Carol Spinney.
Yeah.
She has a whole life. He has a whole life ahead of her.
Don't.
Yeah. Carol Spinney's a guy. Even though
I get confused when guys are named Carol.
Hey, he's Irish.
Carol O'Connor? Back off. From All in the Family.
It's weird to be a guy named Carol.
Edith!
Carol is Charles.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I didn't realize.
Yeah, in some languages, it's like Polish or something like that.
Yeah. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played. Brian Sweeney, you can follow him on social media. Brian's Dong.
Is that still a thing?
Brian's Farts.
Sorry, that brown sound. The All in the Family theme is in the key of brown.
You're terrible.
And that's why they had to make it Archie's Place, so it didn't have the brown sound. Anyway.
Where can people follow you on social media, Brian?
At the Brian Sweeney. I don't know. No one follows me.
No one cares.
No one cares about me.
You don't love me.
That's not true. I have good friends.
Paris loves you.
Paris. Eric.
Peaches only listens to the shows that you are on. Just so you know.
Yeah, I wanted to talk
That's not true, but...
No, I don't think it is. But yeah, Peaches... I have a lot of... I've been trying to watch a horror movie a day for October.
Really?
I've been pretty good at it. I'm not 100%, but I've done a lot. I've read a little, watched a lot of horror movies.
Well, scary. I hope that everybody who's listening to the show who is being tormented by ghosts know that you have all the power. The poltergeist was propaganda, ghost propaganda. You are made out of living flesh and life. They're just, you know, specters. They can't do much.
They can't pull you into another dimension and suck out your soul.
They ain't gotta do shit. You got who's afraid of a ghost? Not me.
You get murdered by your stalker and then you die in your film because you get some kind of weird cancer when you're 8 years old.
The movie Ghostbusters spelled it. Ray Parker Jr. said it. Don't be alone no more, honey. That's how you fight ghosts.
That was Dominique Stone.
And busting makes you feel good.
Yeah. If you bust a nut, be around people, and, you know, tell those ghosts to shove it.
Oh. If Dominique Dunn had only followed the advice of Ray Parker Jr., she'd still be alive today.
What happened to her?
That's what Mark was referencing. She's the sister in Poltergeist. She was murdered by her stalker in her driveway.
Oh, that's so scary. You gotta leave people on an empowering note, Brian.
When ghosts come to get you, boys and ghouls, you can't escape.
Thanks, Crypt Keeper. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Deadly.